Good morning. Knew we'd get here. Announcements. Okay, here's the most important one. Are you ready? If you bet any money on the Belmont, you owe us 10%. Actually, you wouldn't have won much money unless you did the trifecta. Which y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Because everybody here follows horse racing so much. Oh, sorry, that was my opener. It's been my opener every Sunday after a Triple Crown race for the last 20 years. If you won, you owe us 10%. Anyway, it's a strange year for Triple Crowning. You do not have to make a reservation anymore for worship, as you all know. Did you all remember? Yay, we are successful. And happy Father's Day. Everyone who had a father, raise your hand. Arlen? Okay, good. We are grateful for all of the men in our lives. Now, here's a question for you. My grandfather and my daughter's grandfather were born in the same year. Figure that out.
Same day.
Same year. 6 months apart. My grandfather and my daughter's grandfather. How can that be? Somebody told me I was wrong. That I was wrong. Can you figure that out?
Grandpa in the family.
Yes! My dad's father was born the same year that John's father was born. 1908 was a big year for dads and grandfathers in our family. It stumps a lot of people. So thank you, Judy. Small groups. The small groups that meet at the church have been notified. The small groups who have submitted their plans for cleaning and where you're going to meet. If you are a group who uses the church and have not yet submitted your plan for cleaning, I encourage you to do so. Mostly everything's back on track as far as the groups. The quilters and the scouts and the caring group and AA is back, yes, AA, and the groups listed in the bulletin. There they are. Okay. Those are all the announcements I have today. Does anybody have any other announcements? Like things for the good of the order on this fine Sunday morning? Well, here's an announcement. We are grateful to have Arlen back with us after 3 months. Yay, Arlen. Yay. So let's begin our worship service this morning with the prelude. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Welcome. This is a time to celebrate and worship God who loves us. We gather to remember that Christ gave his life for us.
Praise God for such a gift.
Come, friends, come and worship the God of love and hope.
Praise be to God at all times and in all places.
Our opening hymn this morning is "This Is My Father's World."
Pray with me. God of light, Father of us all, we come into this house of worship. We beseech you to come among us. Open our hearts that we may hear you. Open our hearts that you may teach us. Open our hearts that we may love one another. Give us the courage to take up your light and to pray for our broken world, as you taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Glory be to the Father, Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Our special music is none other than the world famous Kathy Winders. Thank you, Kathy. As we come now to our time of prayer, We have some prayer concerns to share. Good news is Monica went home. That's good news. A concern is Cal and Monica are home. Please keep Cal and Monica in your prayers. The good news is her blood clots have been dealt with and taken care of, but they are struggling. Okay. Better than whacking you upside the head. They are struggling to care for each other, so please keep them close in your prayers. Let's see. Good news at the assisted living places. People may visit now outside, so that's good news. People who were once locked in are no more locked in. The captives have been set free. So that's really good news. Chuck Stewart had a visit with a doctor this week, and they have adjusted his medicine so he's not sleeping quite as much. And that's a relief. So Lonnie McBee, this is really good news. She has two more radiation treatments. Count them. Let's count them. One, two, not three, not four, but two. And she's very excited about that. Kim is here from North Dakota. Her granddaughter from Denver is in the area and stops into the house every now and then. So it's Tuesday's going to be a banner day. And if you hear much celebrating, that's Lonnie and her family. And we are glad for that progress. Mike Ward has been in Denver with his son, Arlen. And he has been taking it easy in the mountains, directing Arlen's Eagle Project. And you know how he is when he's in the mountains telling somebody what to do. He's very happy doing that. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Linda, I see you back there.
My brother-in-law's father died at midnight.
Oh. Linda's brother-in-law's father died last night, and they have a very large family, so please pray for them. Also, my daughter was here this last week, and she went home a little bit early because the brother of one of her favorite students was found dead in their home, probably a drug overdose. So she went home to see if she could be there or do anything for her student Jack. So please remember Jack and his family this week. I'm looking. Cindy, hi.
Our son, Doug, is in the midst of a custody case. His ex-wife's house has some severe alcoholism, and it has turned to domestic violence. So we just need God's hand to be in there to do what is best for those children.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Cal.
Ron's sister's son, him and his wife had a baby way premature, only weighed 1.12 ounces. And so it's in Denver being treated. And prayers for Ronnie's sister, her son.
Ronnie's sister's son had a baby prematurely, and so they're in Denver. Okay. And Debbie.
I just want to let everybody know that the Wyoming Food Bank, the Rockies, received a check for $300 from the Crop Walk. So that was their share. So they were very happy to receive it. So thank you.
Oh, that's good. Thank you for that news. Yay.
And
good.
Arlen.
Oh, Arlen. Arlen. Oh, Arlen.
Currently on the lookout for a home to own.
Okay. Oh, do you need a real estate agent?
I have one.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say, we know one whose picture is up on a billboard.
Yeah.
Okay, Arlen's looking for a house, so if you got any ideas, let him know. And keep him in your prayers. Well, that's exciting. Yeah, that's exciting. Okay. And of course, we remember fathers. Let's join together in prayer. To the one who satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things, we come, longing for unmistakable signs of you, envious, O God, of what the Israelites knew through pillar of fire and desert bursting into streams. We come to you today, O God, many of us as fathers, and every one of us a father's child. We come wanting to be all we can to one another, both as fathers and fathers' children. We come frustrated when our expectations of one another leave us hurt and disappointed instead of mutually cherished. And so this day we pray for fathers, young and old, and for those who have died. May they be worthy of honor and blessed by their own children. We pray for fathers strong in faith, firm in limits, hearty in love and laughter, and full of grace. Fathers who, when their child asks for bread, will not give them a stone. We pray for lightened burdens today for all fathers, that they may enjoy the challenge and the delight of their children. Bless every dad this day with the virtues of constancy and perseverance. We also ask, O God, that you would take our prayers swiftly to wherever on this earth anyone is unjustly sacrificed or hurt for whatever reasons, political, economic, racial, or ideological. Give us courage to pay the costs of being advocates for your creation, your earth, your oceans, your forests, and for human rights for all people who do dwell on earth. We remember, God, the ones who are absent from us. We pray for their renewal of mind, body, and spirit. We pray for the day when they will be with us again. We remember the sick, the aging, the very young, asking that you, knowing our every need before we speak it, will comfort and steady those who cry out to you. We bring our silent prayers of intercession and petition to you, as we are silent. And we pray for our church. Amen.
It's amazing what you think about when you sit on a mountaintop 35 miles from the nearest cell service. When I sat there just a few days ago thinking about communion, about how I would convey the honor of being invited to share in this meal with our risen Lord, communion, the word communion, dwelled within me. Communion, according to the dictionary, means an interchange and sharing of ideals and values. It means a fellowship. It means an act of sharing. As Christians, communion is all that, but it is also holy and humbling. Christ invites us, all of us, to his table. He has purchased this meal with his life and his sacrifice. Come, share his love. Come, sit at the table with your Father and his beloved Son. Oh, the hymn. Sorry, I'm not quite used to this. Our hymn is Break Thou the Bread of Life, and it will be on our screen. And on the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took bread. He blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them and said,
"This is my body given for you. Every time you do this, remember me." And after supper, he took a cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is for you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Strong, sustaining God, you have loved us like a father. You have provided for our needs and protected us from our enemies. In Jesus Christ, you took on sin and death and made available to us forgiveness and life, abundant and eternal. This broken bread and this cup are emblems of your broken body and your promise to us. As we partake of it in faith here this morning, fill us anew with your Spirit so that our great desire will be to please you in all that you are or we are and all that we do. We want to live lives of gratitude, maturity, and responsibility. So direct our feet onto the paths of righteousness and correct us when we grow astray in our attitudes or our actions. Send us into the world serving your purpose, relying on your power, knowing and making known your presence in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hasn't the music today been amazing? We are called to be the heart, the hands, and the feet of God. It is through us, each of us, that the world will know Christ. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the reality is that in order to be in this world, the heart and the hands and the feet of Christ, cash is needed. God loves a cheerful giver. The deacons will now wait on us for our tithes and our offerings. Holy Father, living God, take these gifts of our hands, take our talents, take our love for one another, and use them for the coming of your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Are you all awake? Okay, just wondered. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4 is our first reading this morning. Isaiah 46. Okay. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. And our second lesson is from the first letter to John, in the third chapter, which is a challenge to find on thin paper. Ah, there we go. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, or when it is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Well, when I was born some 62 years ago, my dad drove my mom to Ballard Community Hospital. She was put in a wheelchair, and then he went to the father's waiting room. When our youngest daughter, Hava, was born in Las Vegas at Sunrise Hospital, two blocks off the Las Vegas Strip, my mom and dad arrived 2 days later, and I distinctly remember my dad holding her two-day-old self and saying, "I've held my grandchildren earlier in their lives than I held my own children." My mom was in the hospital for a week. I was out in 24 hours. My dad barely touched me when I was a newborn. He didn't change many diapers because that's just the way the culture was at the time. A few things changed along the way, and a few things have changed these days because of the pandemics. Because of the pandemic, expectant dads now are Zooming in on pregnancy checkups. My daughter by another mother, Molly, my oldest daughter's best friend, who lives in Oakland, California, she's due in August, and her husband, Benjamin, zooms into her pregnancy checkups. He is allowed to be at the delivery, but he may not leave the hospital until they all go home. The same is true for Taryn, one of our preschool teachers, who's due in August. Now, Benjamin's already been practicing caring for a baby with his good friend's young son. He and Molly are looking for the perfect hiking backpack and a front pack for camping because they're going to be taking Fernando. Yes, I named the young child Fernando. Fernando. That will not be his name, no, but Fernando. I was watching Mamma Mia 2. When we found out that she was having a boy. So anyway, they'll be taking their baby along when they go hiking and camping in the Sierras and wherever they go. They'll just load them up and go. There was a doctor in my church in Laguna Beach, California, who wouldn't allow his children to go to church before they were five because of the germs. That's a little bit understandable nowadays. And I guess it's not so much the role, but the way in which the relationship of dad is lived out day to day that changes and grows and evolves with each generation. 30 years ago, John Hull, father of my lovely children, was a stay-at-home dad for 10 years with our kids. My mother never understood that. But he was a better baby and young child parent than I was. He could swaddle a baby with the best of the nurses in that newborn hospital. He did the teething and the potty training in the first day of school. He did class field trips. He did the brownie troop much better than I ever could. He was the greatest cookie mom for the brownie troop that they ever saw. And he's the one who took our girls to college. Because I couldn't do it. I'm a weenie. I am. He took the girls to college. In all times, in all places, and across cultures and generations, however it is lived out, the relationship of father is important. For many Christians, as we have heard this morning, father is a predominant image. It is a powerful image for many. Now, you've probably heard this before, but for some women, particularly the first wave feminists, religious women across the decades have been fairly loud in their rejection of the image of God as Father. They would say we have authoritarian and domineering fathers who would only control us and keep us in our place. We have fathers who would beat and abuse us and not love us, they said. And so their aim was for the image of God as Father to be stricken from the record, so to speak, which is an offense to many, I understand. it was a difficult conversation as early on women entered the world of religious scholarship and pastoral leadership in the church. They were very hard conversations, and it was hard to listen to that causticness of that causticness. I'll just leave it there. For us, the issue of domestic violence and how we understand God, the image of God and the character of God, is still relevant and significant because we cannot help but think of God in terms, in human terms and metaphors. It's important for us to allow others the freedom that we ourselves enjoy, and that is the freedom to explore the images and metaphors of God without fear or intimidation. Just because Aileen and Alfred find the image of God as Father comforting doesn't mean that the feminine image of God throughout Scripture cannot be comforting for Alice and Andy. The reality is that God as parent, father or mother, is not the only metaphor we find in Scripture. But today, though, as we celebrate Father's Day, our question this morning is this. Is the image of a dominant and overpowering father a biblical one? So first, it's important to know that the image of God as father was not well known in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. There are a few references that lead us to a parental relationship between Israel and the God named Yahweh. Throughout the Old Testament, the most important thing that Israel learns about God is God's name. Israel's God is the only God with a name, Yahweh. In Exodus, Israel is Yahweh's firstborn son. In Deuteronomy, the people of Israel are children of Yahweh. God is not called upon by the people as father, but the relationship is described as that of parent and child. In the Psalms, God is compared to a father. As a father has compassion for his children, so Yahweh has compassion for those who fear him. But in Jeremiah, just as the southern kingdom of Judah was about to fall and lose the war, God describes the relationship with Israel as a father and a son. I have become a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn son. Ephraim was one of the 12 tribes, one of Jacob's 12 sons. And we've heard it before, 200 years earlier, when what was left of the northern kingdom of Israel was about to be deported off into Babylon by the Assyrians in Hosea, God speaks with a tenderness and a struggle of heart that has not been heard before. God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal. The Holy One in your midst, I will not come in wrath. They shall go after Yahweh, who roars like a lion when he roars. His children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. This is a dark night of the soul for this father, which is what many of our Bibles label the section heading for this chapter. God has cuddled this beautiful baby, Ephraim, the name for the northern part of Israel at this time. This father fed Ephraim, held him close and near to his cheek. He taught his boy to walk. And now the boy is grown and has wandered far. He has wandered too far. The boy, now a man, is unrecognizable because of drugs, alcohol, opioids, falling into the wrong crowd. There are serious consequences for the grown boy's behavior. Consequences too harsh even to imagine. He won't be back. He cheats. He lies. He steals. He continues to refuse my love. And my anger grows deep, and now it's growing into rage. But my heart turns against me. It winces and it cringes. At my anger, it breaks open, and suddenly a tenderness rises within me. I remember those first days of life. The scent of his newborn head, the scent of his baby's breath on my cheek. Those green beans he spit across the room. No, I will not give in to my anger. I will wait. He will turn. And I will bring him home one day. I will wait as long as it takes, I will wait. I am his father. That is what God as Father is like. God will wait as long as it takes because God is not mortal. As humans, as mortals, there are times when love for our children becomes enabling. There are times when our love requires a step back. It requires letting go. It requires distance. Because love is hard. You know, we like to say that God is all-powerful. Omnipotent is the Latin word. Pantokrator is the Greek word in the New Testament. And the New Testament uses it only twice. We're not going to talk about the Hebrew word because the Hebrew word for almighty, which is what these two words translated are, almighty, the Hebrew word leads down another road that to El Shaddai. Does anybody know what El Shaddai means? Yeah. You can look that up in your Bibles or a good Bible dictionary or commentary someplace else. We're not going to talk about that here right now. God, our Father Almighty. Now, this Greek word is lovely. Panto means all. Krator has a few meanings. And really, this is important here, friends. First definition is to take into one's possession, like to arrest, to seize, to grasp. With and without force. The second definition, it means to hold, like to take hold of another's hand. To hold one upright and to support one. Or to hold fast, as in to remain firmly united. Now, God the Father Almighty is the one who holds all things. The image includes, yes, one who can restrain by force. Okay?
Seize the day!
But it also includes one who holds the hand of another. The biblical image, at least in the Hebrew Bible and New Testament, that's what we're talking about, is of a father who holds an infant to his cheek. To lift a baby, to hold another, to cuddle a new life is the most powerful thing in the universe. Omnipotent. God holds all things, like we cuddle. Francis de Sales has said, there is nothing so strong as gentleness, and there is nothing so gentle as real strength. That seems to be, to me, to be the true character of a father, and we have seen it lived here among us before the pandemic. We have seen it lived here. And that is the character of the God we call Father. And that, friends, is what Jesus taught us. There's the change with the New Testament. Jesus teaches us to call God Father. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, you have created us. You have loved us into life. We are your children. Mold us into your likeness and into your image. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Blessed Assurance. The words are on the screen. Since we saw you last, playing the organ or something? Oh man, you've been great today. The music has been lovely. It's been great. The prelude, oh, I get to hear it again. Yay. Thank you all for being here. Remember, your small groups are meeting, so if you're quilting, you're quilting away. So I'll see ya. Have a good day. Enjoy the sunshine. Oh, and pray for rain. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.